Christ the Lord has risen. He is risen indeed. Good to see you all today. I'm glad that we can be as close as we can be here, and we can worship our Lord and celebrate our risen Christ. If you will, and feel like it, and you're at home, will you please stand as we sing our call to worship? It's hymn number 273, if you happen to have a hymnal.
Here at Granite Hills, and He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
I bet you at home weren't prepared for that. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen to that. I want to welcome you to Granite Hills Baptist Church, and we're so glad that you have joined us for this Easter morning, which I suppose might be the most unusual and different Easter in America ever in history. And at least for a long time. There's no hustle and bustle around here. It's very different. No little kids dressed in petticoats and little suits and those kinds of things. But and maybe everyone's smiling. I hope you are at home right now, because we sure are here after singing that song. And just celebrating the resurrected Lord. I'm so thankful that I can do that with just me and the Lord. But it is much a greater blessing at times to be with you all, and we're missing you. And I think we'll be back here sometime soon, but I want you to take courage. The Lord is bringing His church probably to more homes today than maybe possibly ever in the history of America. There's so many people online. I was told yesterday that the number one YouTube word for this week was church. More people looking up churches and where to go And so I think that's wonderful. Let's see what the Lord does with this. And I want to welcome you again here to Easter. I want to remind you also that tomorrow is a big day for a couple in our church, John and Ruthie French. John and Ruthie French is 64th wedding anniversary tomorrow. And so I want to reach out to them and congratulate them and just thank them for what a great testimony they are to our church and our people on what marriage is. And now, I don't know, how is Easter finding you? It's been a different week. It's maybe been difficult. Maybe this has been a time of difficulty or fearful or maybe even hurting over some things in your life. Maybe some circumstances or even sin. Well, wherever you are, with Easter, I want you to know that Jesus has made a way for you to be forgiven and justified by the resurrection from the dead. And at the end of all things, it is the only thing that really matters is, do you know Jesus Christ? And if you do today, you're blessed. And you can go to Him and have a great Easter because He's done everything for you. He has died for you and He's risen to justify you. Isn't that great news? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And we're going to go back to singing. And I want you to sing at home. Sing out best you can. Lord, we come before You. I thank You, Lord, that I do not stand here because of how righteous I am. I know that's not true. But Lord, I stand here justified because of You, Lord Jesus, that You've given me the faith to believe that You came to earth, that You lived a sinless life because You're the God-man. And then You demonstrated You were the God-man by miracles, by wonders. And then, Lord, You laid down Your life for me. And Lord, I pray that You would help me to lay down my life for You every day. Forgive me when I don't. And now, Lord, You were in the grave for 3 days. And on the third day, this day in history, 1,992 years ago, You rose from the grave. And I want to praise Your name. I want to thank You that that day sealed the deal for our future in heaven. And it defeated the great enemy, death. And we praise Your name, Lord. We thank You for Easter 2020. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Pastor. I too welcome you who, some of you may be online for the first time. Some of my family may be watching today, but I miss the choir behind me. I miss you singing out here. I'm looking at 8 more people. So I miss you, but we will do our best and we'll worship our Lord. This next song is called He is Lord. It's hymn number 277, if you have it. Please turn to hymn number 169. first verse only, please. Good to us, our Lord was. Please, if you will, turn to hymn number 491. We'll be singing verses 1 and 3.
Right now, I would like you to be reminded of how to give at Granite Hills Baptist Church. You can go online to give, and you'll be prompted there if you go to ghbcreno.org. That's ghbcreno.org, and you can see where you can be giving there. Also, if you want to mail it in, you can put Granite Hills Baptist Church, P.O. Box 61240, Reno, Nevada, 89508. And so thank you for giving to your church. And church, I want to thank you for sending your offerings in at a time like this. It's different. And I really want to thank you for the giving of last month. We have met our budget, and I want to thank you for that, for your faithful giving. May the Lord bless you for that. Let me have a word of prayer for our offering. Lord, I want to thank you for providing for us. Lord, for not only providing salvation, for the greatest things like the resurrection and the hope of the resurrection we have, but Lord, you've provided for us our daily bread, and you've provided for us in so many good ways, and you have asked us to give back to you a portion of it for your service to proclaim the gospel, the most important thing on earth. And so, Lord, I want to thank you for those that give, and Lord, would you help us to increase our giving as you command us. And Lord, we thank you for your love and watch care always for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you're able, please stand and sing with us. We're going to sing Christ is Risen as our first song.
Let no one caught in sin.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with him again. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave.
Sing verse 2.
The weight of all our sin, you bow to none but heaven's will. No scheme of hell, no scoffer's crown, no burden great can hold you down. In strength you reign forever, let your church risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with him again. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Oh death, where is your sting? Oh hell, where is your victory? Oh, church, come stand in the light. The glory of God has defeated the night. Singing, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, hell, where is your victory? And oh, church, come stand in the light. Our God is not dead, he's alive, he's alive. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with him again. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with him again. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Jesus, I'd have no answer. If not for grace, I'd have no hope. If not for mercy, I'd still be wandering. If not for love, I'd be alone. If not for Jesus, I'd be a debtor. If not for pardon, I'd be a slave. If not for freedom, I'd be a prisoner. But he has conquered hell and the grave. I will forever sing his glory. I'm clinging only to his cross. I will not boast in any other. If not for Jesus, all would be lost. If not for Jesus, I would be guilty. If not for Calvary, I'd be a wretch. If not for Sunday, I'd have no rising. If not for heaven, I would be dead. Sing that chorus. I will forever sing his glory. I'm clinging only to his cross. I will not boast in any other. If not for Jesus, all would be lost. He is the King above all kings. He is the name above all names. He has won my heart again and again, Jesus. Sing that again. He is the King above all kings. He is the name above all names. He has won my heart again and again, Jesus, Jesus. I will forever sing his glory. I'm clinging only to his cross. I will not boast in any other. If not for Jesus, all would be lost. I will forever sing his glory. I'm clinging only to his cross. I will not boast in any other. If not for Jesus, all would be lost. You're the King above all kings. You're the name above all names. You have won my heart again. If not for Jesus, all would be lost.
You may be seated. Open your Bibles to Matthew. Matthew, the 28th chapter, the last book in Matthew. And we're going to start there, and it is a good place to be here on Easter. For the last month, I have been preaching about the dying declarations of Jesus on the cross. There were seven dying declarations, and we preached through all of them, and they're powerful. But I would say there's nothing more powerful than the living declarations of Jesus. The living declarations, which is the title of the sermon today, the living declarations of Easter. He is not here, but he has risen. What a great living declaration. And by the way, I have news for you. We're done with dying declarations. Jesus will never speak of dying declarations again. He is alive. He is risen. He is risen from the grave. Amen and amen. And to tell you the truth, I'm getting quite tired of talking about death. It seems like that's all I'm hearing. Last night I heard that there is 11 deaths to the coronavirus here in Washoe County. And we have about 420-some people infected. But you know, there's another statistic. In Washoe County, there's 471,000 people without it. Isn't that wonderful? There's a lot of good news. Also, there's a lot of babies being born. And there's a lot of life that's happening. And thank you for being so diligent to the expense of your wallet, to all these things of staying at home and doing what our leaders have asked us to do. But I have been getting weary of hearing about death. And it's really high time to start talking about life. And I can't tell you a better day to do it than on Easter Sunday, to talk about life. And today, we're going to do that. And when the most unexpected thing happened here in this scripture, the dead came to life. The dead came to life. The great enemy called death was defeated along with Satan and his minions and by the one and only Savior, Jesus Christ. It is a wonderful day to be here in church. I am so grateful personally to just know the Lord, to know that I'm forgiven. Not that I'm perfect, but that I'm perfectly forgiven. And so why can we have that hope? Well, let's read about it. You at home, you in this audience, would you stand up? And on Matthew 28, let's read the first 10 verses of Matthew 28, 1 through 10. Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. This would be a viewing, we would call today. They, as we know from other places, brought spices with them to anoint the dead Jesus. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. Boy, that sounds like victory, doesn't it? And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. That's really terrified. And the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee. And there they will see me." What a great piece of scripture. Let's ask the Lord's blessing over it. Lord, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's not a story, but it's a historical event that happened in the life of these people, and they record it back to us, and it changes everything. And Lord, we thank you for all you've done for us, for your power. Lord, for your strength to overcome what we can't, what's impossible for us. And Lord, you've come to save us from our sins. So, Lord, would you help us to confess them to you, to turn from them, to believe in you, and live for you. You deserve it for all you've done and for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Boy, there are so many things that we can talk about out of this scripture. I've preached out of it several times. And there are, we could talk about the soldiers. I relate to the soldiers. I suppose as a policeman, prior policeman, I would have been that guy. And I think they were sent to a pretty easy gig, really. We got a little overtime job, and you're going to watch the grave of a dead man. That seems like an easy job, probably a little extra pay for that. How hard could it be to watch the grave of a dead guy? And that's probably what they thought they were getting into. And boy, did they get a show of their lifetime. To see an angel descend like lightning, and the stone moved, and the dead walked out, they were terrified. It was a totally different day for those soldiers. And I love how the scripture states it. The dead raised from the grave, and the living went dead. What an amazing thing. The living are dead, and the dead are alive, as we see in the scripture. We can talk about the women, which is who I'd really like to focus on. An amazing thing here. There's two women, Mary Magdalene. We know of her from several different locations. She lives right next to Capernaum. I went to her town just a month or so ago and walked along the beach of the Sea of Galilee. And it's called Magdala. And it's a beautiful setting, by the way. And then there was Mary, the mother of James the Lesser, who was there. And there was other Marys too. There was quite a few Marys here involved in the Lord's life. And these women were walking to the tomb of the one that they thought had all the answers to life. And yet, he was dead. I can imagine the hopelessness of these women who had placed all their trust in Jesus, and now he's dead. This is something I want to visit today. When you read that scripture, there's some things that really jump out at you. In fact, there's one word that's described four times in four different ways in just 10 verses there, and the word is fear. They were full of fear. And they had a big reason to be. I remember hearing a preacher once told me that fear not, or of that kind of context in Scripture, is found 365 times in the Bible. One for every day for you to fear not. Fear drags us to hopelessness. Fear causes us to do crazy things. Fear makes us crazy. And they were full of this. And we find that the soldiers were afraid. We find that the women were fearful. It seems like a human default that we have. That when things don't go our way, or when things don't seem to make sense, we get fearful. That's the first thing we do. In fact, I've even had good things happen to me and I'm afraid of it. It's just a default we get. That we're just afraid of everything that we're not sure of. And when we're in despair and intense anguish, it is incredibly large in our life. Just how was this? I want you to go back just before this event. We love speaking about the resurrected Lord, and to see that would be amazing. But I don't think we get the real aspect of it, the real charge of it, until we know where they were just before that. How desperate things were. As a prior negotiator for the Reno Police Department, I went to a conference once, and at the conference was a Christian man who taught us on despair. Negotiating, if you don't know this, are mostly done to suicidal subjects. People who are desperate might lock themselves up in a home. I've negotiated many people like that. And they just, they're in so much despair. And some of them get even worse. They might take a hostage or things like that. Over 90% of all negotiations are that kind of thing. And so we need to know about that. And this man brought out what despair is. And I want to remind you that these women were bringing a bag of spices, not to cook, but to put off the smell of death as long as they could. And I'll tell you this, what they really had in their hand was a bag of despair, a bag of no hope. And as I was at that conference, I'll never forget that man as he told me what despair is, what it consists of. And the first thing it consists of, they all three start with H. As they were approaching that scene at the garden, they had a whole bag full of hopelessness. Hopelessness. It is really difficult to live a life without hope. And the hope that they had in the Messiah and Redeemer was just totally wiped out. Their life was wrapped up in the hope of Jesus changing everything. And he had changed so many things. He had changed Mary Magdalene from having seven demons to being right in her mind and living a holy life. At this point, she's wondering, what happened? Am I going to go back to that? What a terrible scene. And Jesus had told them some things that now are very doubtful. I am the resurrection and the life. What's that mean now? I am everything. The one who raised Lazarus cannot raise himself. Those are racing through their minds, and yet now he's dead. Yes, in the bag of despair was a large portion of hopelessness. And I don't know if you've ever been around somebody, or maybe you have experienced that feeling of hopelessness. What I'm about to talk about and continue on, if you're 30 years old or older and you've never experienced these things, you're a very fortunate person to never feel hopelessness like that. Well, also in that bag of despair was helplessness. Not only hopelessness, but helplessness. That bag of despair had a large dose of helplessness in it. The feeling that there is no one who can help you now. The feeling that in a real sense, you're not alone, but alone, on your own, all by yourself. And though they may have been together spiritually, they felt helpless. The one person who had brought you so much help had gone, is gone forever. He's dead. The one that said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. The one that says, come unto me, ye who are heavy burdened, for I'll give you rest. All these things that were help to them, the ones that were delivered from all these diseases, and Mary herself, who was delivered from a demon, is now wondering, he's dead now. We're helpless. The one that had the power to deliver us has been delivered up to death. And we are now all by ourselves. Maybe you felt that way. I have seen people in big crowds that were lonely. In fact, I'll tell you this. I've been to big cities and I felt more alone than out in the woods. with lots of people. You see, we feel helpless when we don't have the Lord. We don't have peace. The last H we have, we have hopelessness, we have helplessness, and then we have haplessness. There's no joy. Your joy's gone. One more ingredient that was in that bag of despair was haplessness. Their joy was turned to complete joylessness. Life no longer had the great expectation of joy and delight because Jesus was not with me anymore. My hope had left. My joy had left. My help had left. Life no longer had that. No, their hearts are broken. Peter is weeping bitterly. The disciples have all felt that they have abandoned Jesus. In a moment of despair, they're caught up in regret. They're caught up in their past. They were in total hopelessness, helplessness, and haplessness. And I tell you, when you reach somebody like that, and you find someone like that, it is very difficult. Now, negotiations, they would say, you need to find the hook. And what the hook is just find something. Just find something that maybe they can be worth living for anymore. And so when you negotiate, you listen real close. You listen for anything that might help them to step away from all their hopelessness and their helplessness and their haplessness. And it's a workout. It's a real workout to find a hook. Because outside of Christ, there isn't any hooks. It's just one more day. And I think we feel that. And dear friends, many people today live that way all the time. They live that way all the time, not because they don't have enough money. I've done negotiation on wealthy people, asking someone to step out of their garage in this big, huge house who's trying to kill themselves, or not enough food. In fact, did you know suicide is actually a rich man's problem? We get things and we realize it doesn't satisfy. It's not those that have not enough education, if they just knew something. You know, I looked up this week on what the world has to say about having hopelessness. And they told me to exercise. I need to exercise. I need to take some vitamins. I need to go see my doctor and have him maybe diagnose me with something and give me a pill for something. All these things that don't work. It was years ago. It was in the 70s when a lot of Christians that were counselors went from being Christian counselors to clinical counselors. And when they switched over, the clinical counselor said, "What are you doing? What you have has been working better than we ever had. What are you doing? We have a low success rate over here. You have so much more success than we do. What are you doing leaving that?" Well, dear friends, you do not have to live like that. Because most people live with the worries of this world and the deceitfulness of sin and has brought them to despair. In fact, in these last few weeks, I have sensed that many in our world are feeling this with the threat of the coronavirus. And it's on their mind that death could be near them. And their wealth is taking wings and flying away. And everything that we thought we could trust in has been unstable. And a little bitty bug we can't even see is bringing America to a screeching halt. And it is amazing. I talked to a man yesterday that is fearful. Got two little kids that his wife is going to die and he'd be left alone. He was genuinely afraid. and I ask him about his soul. Hey, we're having great conversations. Well, that is what was going on here just before the tomb. That is the desperation and the despair that they were in. And that was a scene of these women walking to the tomb that morning, and I dare say, I think I've said enough. Because when they got to the tomb, everything changed. All that stuff I just talked about, and maybe all those things that you struggle with, could change even now, even today. In a twinkling of an eye of faith, they can change. Hey, they dropped that bag of despair into an empty tomb. Is that not wonderful? An angel appeared, and the first thing he said was this, "Don't be afraid." I imagine seeing an angel, that would be the first thing he needs to say to me. This lightning and bright white, I know I'm in the presence of holy. And let me tell you something. Every time we see that in the Bible, when we get in the presence of holy, we get afraid. You know why we get afraid? Because we're not holy. Because we're not like that. And even the best person, even Isaiah, fell to his face and said, "I'm undone. I'm going to die. I've seen the Lord of hosts." We get afraid because we know we don't add up. If you're out there today and you know you don't add up, join the crowd. None of us add up. And so the first thing they said, "Don't be afraid." And then he says something I love to hear. I love to hear that people know what's going on in my life. He says, "I know. I know you've come here to see Jesus who is crucified. I know you've come here to view a dead body. I know what's on your heart. I know your hopelessness. I know you feel helpless. I know you have lost your joy and your haplessness, but that's over with. I want to tell you something. I know what you're looking for, and you found him." And it says here, he gives the first living declaration of Easter. "He is not here, for he is risen just as he said." All those words that he said to you, "I am the resurrection life," they're true. He has been resurrected and he is alive. All those things, you say, hey, you ask and it'll be given to you. What? "Seek and you shall find. Knock and it'll be opened." All those things are true. All those things are true. And dear friends, can you imagine that bag of despair and all its contents beginning to blow away in the hope of a risen Savior? They were blown away as they dropped that bag. I love how they left the scene. The angel tells them to quickly go, like, get out of here. Don't be bothered with me. There's better things than an angel out there. Leave quickly. And by the way, I want you to go tell some men who are literally in hopelessness right now. Would you quickly go tell them that I was risen from the grave? Don't you love good news? I love good news. I ran up Friday to Wall Canyon. I met Wes Fletcher coming the other way. And I couldn't wait to tell him about his mother-in-law, about coming to Jesus. That was such good news, something we've prayed about for so long. Good news is wonderful. And it says they left, and they quickly left. And it says that they left with fear and great joy. That's the last time you'll see fear. They still were like, could this be true? And they've seen an angel, and they're beginning to get rid of their haplessness, but there's still helplessness and hopelessness hanging in there. Have you ever been there? You hear the best news and you're still going, could it be? You might be here today going, really, preacher, are you kidding me? Jesus really rose. Yes, he really rose. And you might feel that struggle in your heart is, could it be true? Because that would be the best news for me, because I'm a sinner and I need a Savior and I need hope and I'm not good enough. Well, you're in good company. You're at a great place to come to faith in Christ. And that means they left with some doubt, but with great joy, hearing this great news. And as they left the scene, their doubt was completely shattered to pieces because the Lord Himself met them and greeted them. I can't imagine this. This is the thing I hope to experience the day I die. To meet Jesus, the resurrected Lord. They saw the Lord Jesus and all that hopelessness, the helplessness, the haplessness completely went away. It was gone. At that point, the only thing you can do when Jesus meets you and takes away all these things away out of your life, there's only one thing you do. It's natural. It comes automatically. You bow, you grab His feet, and you worship Him. For now you know that there's a God in heaven, and He has helped you. And He is powerful. And they just bowed and worship the Lord. It is the end of fear. It is the end of doubt. Worship is that way. Scott Heppner, he sings a song every once in a while. He needs to sing it sometime again. And the words go like this. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive and I'm forgiven. Heaven gates are open wide. They saw it just like that. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide, and they're still wide open. God is still saving. He has not come yet. He's going to come pretty quick. I would get going on this, but you can come to faith in Christ today. On this Easter, dear ones, the church is empty. But praise God, the tomb is empty also. Amen. Hope is not lost. Your helper is alive, and joy is found in the Lord today. No other place. I'd like to ask you, friends, are you in despair? Feeling hopeless? Feeling helpless? Feeling haplessness? You can do that as a lost person a lot. You can feel this, and it's real. And I've talked to many, many people in a time like this, and what they need is Jesus. I've felt this before. I am not one of those 30-year-olds that have gone through life without having this feeling in their life, and it's what brought me to Christ. When I realized that there's just nothing I can do, that I'm hopeless in my sin, and I need Jesus, and I fled to Him, and He saved me. And He made me a new life. Maybe you're a Christian today. And you're feeling this. And you need to turn to Jesus and repent. You need to get back in church. You need to get back going where you know you're supposed to be. That life can throw us a lot of curves. And maybe this coronavirus is nothing compared to what's coming. I don't know that. You don't know that. But one thing's for sure. You're not going to live forever. And this world's always changing. Today's the day of salvation. Flee to Jesus. He's risen from the grave. He's alive and He's speaking into your heart and you can feel it. And you know the truth will set you free. There's only one person who can really fix that despair, and He has risen from the grave. In our history, He has done this and has changed the lives of millions of people, including mine. Would you bow your heads? And would you, right now, consider your soul? That one day, you're going to meet the Lord with it. Would you consider surrendering, asking God to forgive you, and come into your life? The Lord loves you, and if He's speaking to you, He's particularly in love with you. He's calling you home. Give up your sin. It's just dragging you away, and come to faith in Christ. Lord, I come before you. And as folks here at this church, just a few are bowing their heads, and many at home, would you, Lord, touch their hearts? Would you show them where their hope is, where their help is, where their joy is in this life? Lord, it's with you. And I thank you for raising from the grave. I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, for giving me hope. And Lord, I thank you that you have to forgive me every day, that I'm secure in your love. And Lord, I pray for those that don't have that. Would you convict their hearts today, and that they would say that prayer of repentance and come to faith in you, Lord. We thank you and praise you for this being Easter. Lord, may we remember to always trust you and to believe in your word that this happened. Would you put that faith and belief in our hearts? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you on this Easter. God bless you.
We're going to close with one more song. It's called Christ is Risen. He is risen indeed. Let's celebrate that Jesus is risen.
As dawning light, when Christ's disciples lift their eyes, alive he stands, their friend and king. Christ, he is risen.
See, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Oh, sing hallelujah. Join the chorus, sing with the redeemed. Christ is risen. Risen indeed. When doubt and darkness once had been, they saw him and their hearts believed. But blessed are those who have not seen, yet sing hallelujah.
Once bound by fear,
now bold in faith, they preach the truth and power of grace, and pouring out their lives they gained, life everlasting. Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Oh, sing hallelujah. Join the chorus, sing with the redeemed. Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. That raised him from the grave now works in us to powerfully save. He frees our hearts and give his grace. Go tell of his goodness.
See, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Oh, sing hallelujah. Join the chorus. Sing with the Christ is risen, he is risen.
Sing that again.
Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Oh, sing hallelujah. Join the chorus, sing with the redeemed. Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. He is risen, he's alive, he's alive. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive. Now in heaven glorified. He's alive, he's alive. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive. Now in heaven